Welcome to the Functional Health Coaching Show, where we are here to support and answer your questions so that you can help people on a deeper level get real results and grow your health coaching business. Do you have questions you want to ask live on the show? You can call in every Friday at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 1-347-637-1378. Are you looking to increase your credibility and grow your health coaching business using functional lab testing and data-driven protocols so that you can confidently solve health issues? Well, we have the course for you. Go to fdn.today/show to learn more and sign up today. Okay, let's join today's episode.
Happy Friday, guys. Thanks for tuning in again to the FDN Fantastic Friday Call, otherwise known as the Functional Health Coaching Show. I come to you guys every week to answer your questions, give you some support when it comes to functional health and FDN, all things FDN, and what we do, help people to feel better using natural means and to spread that as far as we can by training practitioners to do that and just doing a great job getting results. And if you do a good job, people want to talk to other people about that. So through referrals, and we just want to change the health of the nation, of the world, actually. I should expand that to the world, using what we do with the techniques of FDN. So thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Brandon Mollet, FDN practitioner, mentor, clinical advisor, and I've also got my good buddy, Brendan Vermeer, on with me today. We might have Tess. I may have a talker in to coming on, too. So you guys have been getting 3-for-1 here the last few weeks, coming on to answer your questions. So no matter where you are in the course, if you're a trainee or a graduate, or you're just looking at taking the FDN course, becoming an FDN practitioner, certified FDN practitioner, we're here to answer your questions. So live call we do, again, every week, 1 o'clock Central Time on Fridays. The number to call in, if you want to call in, make a comment, ask a question, whatever. We're happy to hear from you guys. We've had a lot of you guys on as of late. I know, and that's been going on since the coronavirus. I don't think it's just because you guys are kind of more locked in your homes there. I think it's just the good thing we've got going. So we love when you guys call in, say hello, and ask questions. We don't care what you want to ask. We'll do the best we can to answer it. But that number, if you want to call in and say hey, is 347-637-1378. Again, 347-637-1378. Hit 1 on your keypad, and I'll know that you're there, and I'll ask your name after I call out your area code, and then you can ask your question, or maybe 2, if there's time. So we welcome that for sure. It is April 24th, 2020, so getting through the month of April, which, I don't know, I don't like to wish my life away, but sometimes you kind of wish you kind of would speed through certain seasons, right, and things you don't have to experience it for as long. So, but hopefully you guys are doing well, kind of coming out of some of the craziness the last month or so. I know I'm feeling in better spirits, I would say. I was talking to Brendan earlier, and he said kind of the same thing, so maybe weather changing is helping if you're in a part of the world where you've kind of getting into spring very nicely and maybe into some warmer weather, and then things are shifting and changing. So maybe a little perspective, too. Hopefully we can help you with that here on the call today, too. If you've got a question about on the business side or mindset aspects of things, we're happy to answer questions there, too. So, again, call in and speak with us. A few announcements, a couple things just to bring up here. So the FDN Rock Conference, so our annual conference, is still on for October 23rd to the 25th in San Diego. And we've brought back the pre-sale pricing for the conference. So if you didn't take advantage of the early bird pricing and all that great discount we give there at the start, back at the beginning of the year, now it's time to do it at this point. So check out FDNconference.com. Should be also an announcement there in your email on FDN Connect about that, so be aware of that. Please make plans to join us. You will not be disappointed. And also, just a reminder about MRT Oxford, so the special pricing they're giving to our practitioners and for us, for our clients right now. Check on the details of that. Make sure you guys are aware of that. They've done some nice things there. So you can do that amazing test, food sensitivity test. Check out the details there if you're not aware. Let's see. Oh, yeah, and then something else new. I was on Facebook this morning, and so I'll pop up in my feed there, is that we have started a trainee study hour every Friday on it's a Zoom call, but it's also fed into the Facebook page for the trainees. So this is a trainee study hour. So our course supervisor, Dawn, is on there. She's doing a great job, awesome practitioner, and doing a super job with helping us always improve the course. And then also Reed. So you get Dawn and Reed. Pretty amazing there. This is a good study hour. Time to ask some questions, some specific things, maybe things that might not be something you want to ask on a Friday call, or maybe just not Friday call appropriate for some reason, something real, you know, minutia or super detail. That's a great place to be able to ask those questions. So if you guys didn't know about that, that's 10 a.m. Pacific time every Friday. So we've got kind of a double support for FDN going on here as of late. So awesome to have technology. It looked like you had several people up there tuning in. So good place to ask questions. You know, support is a big thing, right? So that's something that has been from the very beginning with FDN is, you know, having a mentor, somebody to kind of help you through the course, walk you through the practicals, support you with their wisdom, their knowledge, their experience, certain things. Then, of course, the medical director program there also. So the consults you have as you run labs on your cases, we review those with you. Brendan and I do those and test too, and we enjoy that. Whitney, several of us, Ryan Monahan now. So we've got a pretty big group, so we've always had that support in there. And then, of course, the Friday call has been there for you guys as well. And then as of a few years back, we started AFDMP. So help with Brendan's help there, growing AFDMP, that support arm after you've graduated. And then, hey, you know, we've got Zoom, we've got Facebook, and hey, we might as well jump on there. So support and making sure you feel supported, your questions are answered. We don't have anything to hide. You know, we're just out there trying to do the best that we can. We've got a proven system to improve health. And it works, and it's fun, and I love what I get to do. Brendan, and I think, would say the same thing. So we want to support you that way. So as a trainee, we've got that you can take advantage of. So tune into that. The link's up there, usually posted on the trainee Facebook page. Jump on a Zoom call, and, hey, you get to talk to the man directly himself and ask questions and of Dawn there. So super cool thing. So if you can't make the live call, you can post questions below, and they'll get to those. They'll probably prioritize live callers, I'm guessing. But, hey, just post questions, and you will get an answer. That's our promise. So, all right, so a couple things there I wanted to mention. Brendan, anything you got to update us on, AFTMP-wise, or anything you're working on that might be relevant to the audience?
Well, you know, in the AFDNP meeting, just so everybody knows too, I'm still staying pretty active with the AFDNP, even though I'm not in the director position anymore. So I wanted to say a couple things about that. As far as I know, they are still accepting applications and kind of working through applications for the AFDNP executive director position, which, just so everybody knows, you know, it is pretty much like a project management director type position. I think, as many of us experienced, I was maybe a little bit more of like a, you know, clinical advisor and sort of leader of the group, but you know, they really want a full-time person that is completely owning the AFDNP, which isn't really what I've been doing for the past 2 years. I've been more of like a leader of the tribe, not as much a director of the membership, if that makes sense. And that's really what the AFDNP needs, which is also why through a lot of great, amazing conversations with FDN leadership, it really became apparent that I was not the best fit for that job. You know, and just to be more candid and make fun of myself, you know, I'm a squirrel chaser with ADHD. So, you know, like when it comes to detailed project management and that kind of stuff, that's not really my jam. But that really is what the AFDNP needs to continue to grow and go to that next level. And so kind of think of You know, look at all the amazing work that Brandy does with the medical director program. We need somebody like that, that can just run the AFDNP like a tight ship and help us with the vision. So I just wanted to speak to that, because now, instead of being the director, you know, I'm on the board of advisors. And so my job is to help with, you know, the direction of and the vision of what we want to grow the AFDNP into, rather than me being the guy that is executing, you know, the brick lane in the building. So if you feel that you have the, you know, project management skills in the organization, and I would also say technology skills. You know, there were a lot of technology responsibilities that I used to have that, like, really were not something I'm good at. So we are still looking for who is going to be that person to become the new full-time AFDNP executive director. And I am involved with that selection process, because I want to make sure, you know, whoever takes on that role is going to really be able to help us, AFDNP leadership, you know, take this to that next level, take that membership and that community to the next level. So, you know, I think there's been maybe confusion of, like, where did Brendan go? And it's like, hey guys, I'm still here. I didn't go anywhere. But we are needing somebody with those types of skills. And so, I have had a few private conversations with some people that have expressed interest, and I am helping Reed and Brandy and Jen with the selection process. So I just want to speak to that. You know, we are still trying to find who's going to be that perfect person to help us transform the AFDNP and help it reach its full potential. So a little bit of an update there. And if any of you are interested, I'd encourage you to apply. If you want to chat with me a little bit, or Brandy or whoever. But yeah, just want to make sure I'm doing my part to make sure we get the right person into that role so we can all continue to grow together.
Love it. Thanks for saying that and clarifying. There was a little confusion on that side of things. So, yeah, thanks for saying that. And that's always what we've been about too, right? So growth and continually expanding and offering more and more things and making, you know, your membership there even better, being part of that amazing association. So you just have to find, you know, each phase and level requires a different group of people sometimes, and you switch things and arrange things. That's always Reed and FDN leadership has never been afraid to make some changes and update things and take a leap and see where it goes, and all the effort to improve things. And so same spirit there. So yeah, so good. Thanks for mentioning that. So if you're something you think you might be a fit for, reach out to us. You know, we've always hired from within our group. That's always been the thing. That's where we go first, right? So if we can't find somebody, it's different. But we've always said, okay, within our group, our family, FTN family, who would be a good fit for that? So good. Thanks for saying that again. So FTN, AFTNP is going strong and, again, going to that next level. Okay. So I've got one graduate to congratulate on air here today, and then we'll jump into your questions. Again, if you want to call in with questions, you guys can do that. 347-637-1378 is that number. I will take callers first there. If you're going to hit one on the keypad, you'll come up there and I'll bring you on here. But before we do that, we want to congratulate our graduate this week. So I've got Caitlin Narduli, is a doctor of chiropractic, so a chiropractor from Pennsylvania. Super good call with her. Really enjoyed getting to meet her and her energy. And, you know, after all, FDN was birthed in a chiropractic office, so many of the same principles of chiropractic apply with FDN. If you know chiropractic at all, the lot of philosophies behind chiropractic and FDN, very, very similar. So it's always a good marriage. Of course, one of our medical directors there, Dr. Polucky, as a chiropractor also. So love chiropractic, and love the Caitlin's new FDN practitioner also. So congratulations, Caitlin. Good job. All right. Good stuff. All right. So we can jump into some questions. Had a few from last week I wanted to try to get back around to, and then I grabbed some also here from from the pages there. So again, if you guys want to ask a question, say hey, hit one on the keypad, we'll bring you on. Otherwise, we'll jump into a couple of questions here. So here's one that is a relevant one. I think I've had several people ask me about this, and Brandon, maybe you can give me a little more insight this as well. So that person's asking about doing liposomal biocidin or regular biocidin in a cool mist handheld nebulizer for mold in the sinuses. You know, is it mixed with water? How much? Sort of this idea here of nebulizing or atomizing biocidin and breathing it in. So I've had some experience with this with some clients with good results. But Brandon, can you maybe talk to a little bit about that usage of some of the biocidin products there?
Yeah. You know, I definitely have personally nebulized biocidin, and I have recommended it to, you know, private clients and stuff. I do think we all, you know, need to exert a certain amount of caution with doing stuff like that, because do any of us really know the potential harmful effects of breathing in a substance down into the lungs, you know, into the alveoli? And, you know, as a random thought of why I'm kind of stressing that, it's like with there's kind of all this new information coming out about the dangers of, you know, vaping, all of these e-cigarettes and all of these vaporizer things, because, you know, they're vaporizing in oil. And it's like, you know, in what other time do we ever breathe oil or a fat-soluble substance down into the lungs? You know, so I just want to kind of preface with that, that, you know, if we're talking about inhaling a substance into our lungs, I think we need to exert a certain amount of caution with that. With that said, have I personally breathed in liposomal or regular liquid biocidin? Yes, I have. Have I recommended it? Yes, I have. You know, same with like colloidal silver and stuff like that, but just kind of make sure we're being careful with that. You know, I've done both. I've heard people lean towards using the regular biocidin in a nebulizer. And, you know, I mean, I'm not a chemist. I'm not a pulmonary specialist, so I don't necessarily know like what could happen if you're breathing in like a liposomal particle into your respiratory tract and in your lungs. Do I think there could be possibly some, you know, potential therapeutic benefit from doing it, some kind of antimicrobial? Well, absolutely, you know, but it's just anytime we're talking about nebulizing, that sort of opens up a realm that is crossing into kind of medical realm that I think we need to be a little bit careful of. So those are kind of my initial thoughts.
So would you say maybe doing some sort of nasal rinse or irrigation with it would be maybe just as effective, safer?
Yeah, I think like a neti pot is a much like, and this is obviously kind of a good reminder to all of us of how we all just need to be careful about what we're saying, what we're recommending, because like, do we really know? And there are certain things that, you know, when we're putting things in our body, it's one thing of like, you're taking an oral supplement as, you know, recommended by the manufacturer, but when you're taking a product and administering it via a different route that it's not really intended for, that's where we got to be a little bit careful. But yeah, like I am much more kind of liberal with my usage of doing a nasal, a sinus flush with a neti pot. Absolutely. I mean, I put biocidin in my essential oil diffuser, to be honest. So a neti pot, absolutely. You know, mixing the saline with, you know, a few pumps of biocidin or a dropper or whatever, to flush out the sinuses, where we can trap a lot of, you know, mold spores and get biofilm buildup and, you know, Marcon overgrowth and, you know, whatever else is living up there. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of the sinus flushing.
Mm-hmm. So you mean biocidin is not a cure all, we can't just take a bath in it and drink it and fix everything?
I mean, I'm all for taking biocidin bubbly baths.
Oh, it's good stuff. But yeah, Yeah, it's a good point. Very good point. So just because you hear about a potential application, need to exercise caution with that for sure. Think about the mechanism that's there. Maybe you go a little easier. I mean, coffee enemas are kind of maybe in that same realm. Like, do they work really well? Do people feel great with them? Have they been shown to people to see some improvement? For sure. Is coffee supposed to go that direction? You know, that's kind of a little bit weird thing too, right? So you've always got to use caution with any of these, anything you do, right? Be smart, these different healing modalities. Know the person that you're working with. Don't start out with, a maximum dose of anything. If that's food or exercise or sleep or a supplement or some kind of healing modality, everything is a sequence and titration. Listen to the body and take it slow. It's not just for troubleshooting purposes. There's also some safety that's built in with that. Now, the vast majority of things that we recommend and do are tremendously safe, like very safe record, and the things are working in harmony with the body. You don't hear about 1,000 people a day dying from taking, echinacea or something like that, right? So there's a safety in what we do, but you have to be smart about it as well. That's why we train you so well with the course to do that. You're not just somebody that read an article off the internet and tried something and did this and made a bad recommendation. So we teach you how to think like a practitioner and to be aware of your client, ask questions, and train them. So a lot of safety that's built in there, and we do the very best that we can. So good. Yeah, thanks for bringing up the other sort of side of that. I think everybody hears, oh, cool, you can put biocide in here and there. Mm-hmm. Oh, how great. Which is cool, a wonderful product. I go through a lot of it in my practice. Tremendous stuff. Love it. But yeah, be smart about where you put it, how you apply it, and what the intent was there. So yeah, thanks for clarifying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Anything else on the bio side? I'll tell you one thing. I just had a client have a terrible tooth ache and a major issue, and I said, hey, order some Dentalcidin. Here's a link for that. She hadn't got that, but I said, just take your Biocidin and hold it on your mouth over there for a few minutes and see what happens. And she said next day, like, it was totally back to normal. She couldn't believe how quickly it happened. So you can hold it in your mouth and sort of get it on the dental side of things and support that very much so. It's a very safe way to do it, but I like those quick turnarounds sometimes when you have that.
Yeah, super cool.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, we've got a hand raise, so we'll grab a caller here. All right, 215 area code. What's your name, 215?
Hey, guys, what's going on? It's Evan out of Pennsylvania.
Hey, Evan.
I actually don't have a question today. I just wanted to hop on hoping that she is listening. I didn't want to be like weird about it and go on Facebook and just try to, I don't even know if she uses Facebook or whatever, but I saw the one Amy lady that just graduated on the homepage was out of Bluebell, Pennsylvania. And that is by far the closest grad that I've ever seen. That's about 15 minutes away from myself. I'm in Telford, PA. Amy, so if you are out there listening, I just always like to connect with other people that are interested in this type of stuff. So if you happen to be listening and you want to connect, I honestly just wanted to shout it out and say, please reach out to me. My name is Evan Transue. It's TRANSUE. And if you just search the FDN support group, you will definitely see me somewhere in there. So shoot me a message and like, let's grab lunch or something. But that's all I got for today, actually.
Cool.
That's cool. I say that's a first, but that's cool. I love it. We need to be able to try to connect, right? That's a big part of what we do. We're all spread throughout the world as practitioners. So if somebody's on your back door there, it all means, yeah, connect safely, but connect. So that's fine. Cool, Evan. Thanks for saying hey and doing that. Awesome. Okay. Yeah. So Amy
was a
graduate last week there. So tremendous. Very cool. All right. Northeast being represented here by FTM practitioners. So again, we're all over, I don't know how many countries it is now, Brendan, maybe you know, but it's all across the world. FTNs are helping folks.
Yeah, we're everywhere.
All right. We're everywhere. We are. All right. I've got another caller here. So 716 area code looks like. So yeah, 716. What's your name, 716?
Hello, this is Karen Bobinski, and I'm calling from Western New York. And how are you guys doing today?
Good, how are you?
We're doing awesome. Yeah, Karen.
Good, good. Okay, so I just have a question, but yeah, so it'll take a second to explain some things that I already know to kind of ask my question.
Okay.
So, okay. So I was always under the impression that if anyone had any diagnosed autoimmune conditions or symptoms of autoimmune conditions, then it was beneficial for the body to just generally avoid dairy and gluten. And I never knew why, and then I kind of learned why. So I was under the impression that the dairy and gluten, when they're broken down, they have a similar molecular structure as cortisol. And so there's some molecular mimicry going on. So it might fit into the same receptors, but it blocks the body from actually doing what it's supposed to do. So if, you know, if we look at our HPA axis and, you know, there's autoimmune going on and the adrenals get to the point where they're fatigued and they're really not making the cortisol any longer, I was just wondering what hormonal steals are going on where the cortisol is being made. Because if it's not being made by the adrenals, what's making it, if that even makes any sense of the question?
Okay. I don't know. I've got maybe a couple of thoughts. Brendan, do you know I have something right off hand you want to say? Maybe you start on this one. This is kind of a...
Yes.
Interesting.
So definitely a lot of the stuff, a lot of the information that I think floats around our industry, I think a lot of it we could probably more safely call a theory than like a definitive or widely accepted or super scientifically validated paradigm. You know, so like my immediate thought is this is where Dr. Karazian is probably one of the leading figures when it comes to, shall I say, the theory of molecular mimicry. Now, I just say theory because, you know, to be thorough, because to be honest, I think in the functional industry, way too often people are believing in theories that really might not be valid or accurate at all. And I think it kind of leads us all astray. So, I would check out his work. Now, as far as kind of the theory of molecular mimicry, which, yes, I do very much believe that it is a very valid thing that we're learning more about thanks to the research of people like Dr. Karazian, where, you know, we are seeing because there is a similar amino acid structure, some of these different proteins that, you know, it quote unquote can, you know, confuse the immune system. And so it kind of creates this, where maybe the immune system is destroying something that's part of us that's not supposed to because of, you know, like a great example is the similar protein structure of gliadin and, you know, thyroid tissue causing potentially exacerbating Hashimoto's or, you know, some sort of thyroiditis. So as far as the, where is cortisol being produced? I, off the top of my head, don't know of any other tissue that produces cortisol other than the adrenal glands. And so, I mean, I would think any cortisol the body's producing is still being produced there because obviously there's a lot of cells and some cells might be working. Other cells might be getting destroyed as part of an autoimmune process. But those are kind of my initial thoughts.
Yeah, because I'm just trying to like wrap it around in my head that if something's dying or being destroyed, how are they able to put out high levels of stuff, you know, of hormones if they're, you know, dying? That makes sense. You would think they'd be putting out less stuff, but maybe I don't have it. Maybe I don't understand it in the correct paradigm.
I think part of it is, you know, again, like how many cells of the adrenal glands are producing cortisol, and if some cells are being destroyed, and maybe other cells are picking up the slack, so to speak, or, you know, obviously that's why we're constantly, we produce 2 million red blood cells every single second. right? So there's a huge amount of cellular turnover and division going on all day, every day. So, we don't fully understand those mechanisms, but the body certainly has its compensatory mechanisms to fill those needs. So, yeah, I think it's a very interesting question.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll chime in there. I don't know of any other place that makes cortisol than the adrenal gland. So I'd say that, I'd say on the whole theory side of things, I would suspect, and I'd say this is probably anything that we try to go test and observe with science and using all the things that we have, probably started with an observation by a practitioner or a person that has a situation. And so It really starts there. And that's really, I think, the crux of what we do and how we work is that we're good observers of patterns and things that we see, and we want to teach our clients to be the same. And everybody's biochemically individual. The whole gluten and the dairy thing, if you eat it and you feel crummy and it makes things worse, you take it out, you feel better. Practicality says, take it out. Exactly what mechanism is going on that causes that, that's a neat exercise to do, and it's good to think through some of those things. But when you kind of hit a roadblock, You can't quite figure out exactly what's going on, I don't think it hurts your ability to help somebody out. Like if mentally, if we get to that point, we can't figure out exactly, all the biochemical processes and things like that. It still comes down at the end of the day, what do we do about it, and what do we have the person to do to improve health? So I think Always goes back to that. I'm kind of going from, it's good, again, good to think through these things and try to understand what might be going on. But that's why we do more of a general approach and a less specific approach. It tends to work better. That's generally, And Reed would definitely say that as well. Just in general, it's good to do some of these academic exercises on occasion, but really comes down to is being a good observer and watching patterns and shifts that happen. And then, if you can back it up with lab testing that shows, okay, this and that, that's a good thing. I think all the work that we're doing, any work that's being done, I think it's going to eventually be helpful. It may not in its infancy. I would kind of go to the gene testing and things like that, genetic side of things. I think in the very beginning, when all that was coming out years ago, when the functional medicine tried to get more into that, I think it was kind of worthless. I think it's getting better now because we're getting down to more practical application of it. And I say worthless in the practical application, side of things. It's always about that. So
right.
Yeah, might be a little comment I've got on that. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't know. I'm not sure that whole thing.
Yeah, I was just curious if either of you had clients who had like autoimmune type symptoms or diagnosis where they did remove like dairy and gluten, and then maybe like a year, 2 years, or 3 years later, they were able to reintroduce it because their gut was more healed and more nourished. I'm not sure, because I think it's kind of a shock for people to hear, you had something for like can't have it ever. Like, I think that's kind of like a shock for people. And I was just curious, and I mean, they won't know until they make the change and reintroduce it back. I was just curious at what kind of experience you guys have had with when people do reintroduce things like a gluten and dairy, just because they block so, they interfere with methylation so much, I guess.
Gotcha. Okay. I would say dairy is more likely to be able to be reintroduced. And this is just a general comment. This is not, an autoimmune population. I think as a general comment, dairy seems to be one that has a better chance of being reintroduced than gluten. I would say just in general, that's what I have experienced. I know, me personally, with all the work I've done for myself, I don't have a huge reaction to gluten, but I do have some. I don't feel great when I eat it, so I don't. I probably, could a little more often and not have hugely detrimental effects to my body, but I just don't feel good with it. Dairy, I'll cycle on and off of dairy. I'll try to do good quality dairy, but there's just times my body says, hey, this just isn't jiving with me right now. I'm going to stop consuming it for a while and just get it out of my system.
Right.
Yeah, I'd agree that just as a general rule, like I'm pretty anti-grains and dairy just as a basic general. I've just, over the years, the vast majority of people really do just seem to thrive more optimally without grains and dairy in their diet.
Mm-hmm.
But the question of why in the world is it, you know, I grew up on that. We've eaten it for, you know, thousands of years, and, you know, United States for sure, for hundreds of years, we've eaten those foods. Why are they all of a problem, all of a sudden a problem? That doesn't compute for, I think, for people in their 20s and 30s. Maybe they're like, yeah, it's just kind of, okay, we get that. Maybe little older folks that have been growing up on those foods, all of a sudden they can't eat these. This is really does not compute. I totally understand and get that. I would say, you know, the whole system you're putting the food into, whatever it may be, changes. So, the, you know, the body, that side of things. And you've got, you know, tampering and messing with our food. Our whole food supply is pretty jacked up. It's hard to find really true good food anymore. And so the milk's not the same milk that you drink. The wheat's not the same wheat that your grandmother made or growing up in the 50s or whatever. It's not the same food. And all the other factors in with that, all the multitude of chemicals and then the gut issues that we have, all those things change. That would be part of the explanation of why. Ultimately, I think it comes down to that person. Hey, if you want to get better, you may need to make some dietary changes. And at least I say, hey, pull out dairy and gluten for a couple weeks to start. Just see how you feel. You can do anything for a couple weeks. Just do that for a couple weeks. See how you feel. Of course, you know, longer is probably going to be better, and maybe to keep something like an autoimmune condition in remission. Maybe a lifetime thing. That's a very possibility. But what's the alternative? So at least try it. Most people I've do this ahead is pull out dairy and gluten for a couple weeks at a minimum. Most people are going to feel some improvement, some change. So that's a good way to approach it. Just for a short period of time, let's see what happens.
Okay. Well, thank you, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're welcome.
Great
Hopefully
question.
We've helped. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Karen. Okay. Another caller here, 406 area code.
Hi there.
406. Hello.
Hello.
Who's this?
Oh, this is Amy.
Good, how are you?
Hey.
I'll say it again. I'm sorry.
I'm Avery.
Who? Hey, Avery.
Avery. Hello, Avery.
Hi.
You've been on before?
Yes, I have. Just got off the trainee session with Reed and Brandy and Don, which was awesome.
Oh, cool. So it went well.
Well, I love it. And then we get
wonderful.
This. So Fridays are a huge treat now.
It's true, right?
I like it.
You get,
too.
You know, it's
I'll
good.
This over
it's good.
So I kind of have a simple question. And I don't know. So I'll just start. I'm towards the end of my training. And one of the last slides in the course, you know, it's just Reed's just talking about chronic stress-related dysfunctions, and there's the iceberg image. And so the chronic stress-related dysfunctions are icebergs under the water. And then above the water says symptoms and lab values. And I'm just wondering your guys' opinion on showing that diagram with the symptoms and lab values above the water to clients.
I would say I'm all for that. I use that graphic as well as one showing like a plant, you know, so underlying conditions down below the ground, above the ground is what you see. So if that plant is starting to look crummy on top, you've got to look below the ground. That's what we'd do, right? We wouldn't paint the leaves green. We're going to look below the ground and work on what's there. So I use that analogy also. Those two are simplified versions of the brain-body diagram, which takes a little longer to go through, but still sort of illustrating some of the same principles by which we work. So I'm all about analogies and visuals. So I think that's good to maybe use on an onboarding call, part of an educational thing that really is laying down the foundation of what we do. And then, yeah, maybe having it, bringing up a few times along the way working with the client. Yeah, I'd say that's be great.
Okay. And so with the, also, with
did,
the
did you have a reservation about what was it? Was there something you had a reservation about or a question, like something that you reason why you wouldn't?
I guess I just felt like maybe that was coming off a little bit too strong. But also, I feel like that's kind of how you want to come off. You're trying to get a client. Yeah, I guess not really much of a hesitation I just wanted to see what you guys have to say about that, because a lot of people are used to, you know, there's and getting, you know, just dealing with their symptoms and, you know, their lab values. So I think, you know, I was kind of like, oh, wait, maybe that might be too hard, like harsh coming off, you know, like, you know, that's what you, I don't know. But I like what you're saying. I think I have my onboarding call on Monday, so I'll definitely be using that. And
yeah, those analogies.
Yeah, would the mind-body diagram also be useful for the onboarding call?
It could be. The onboarding call on the course, we're just doing a phone call. We're not doing a video chat. But I guess if you want to do on that, set it up like do a video chat on that and share screen, you could do that. That's what I do with any online client there. Sometimes phone, sometimes the screen, and then I'll use a few slides there to illustrate how we work. I think pictures help a whole lot. So any of those ways you want to explain why, how we work and why what we do works so well. And I would say that it's a good test. You want to make sure that a person, you know, they're interviewing you and you're interviewing them. So you want to make sure that you align, I'd say, philosophically about how you want to address health and how they see the body and how this whole process actually works. You want to make sure that you're in alignment, because if they don't work the way and believe the way that you do, then it's not a good fit. So that's part of what those 8 questions do, and going through that 20, 30-minute phone call with the person is to filter those people out and make sure that they get the help that they need. So I think 100% we need to talk about how we work and make sure that we're in alignment, and you can use those various illustrations and pictures and analogies to do that. So you should, because, you know, you may not ever get to talk to that person again. Yeah, sometimes one shot, you know. Yeah, you're going to follow with a person if they're interested. That's certainly something you do with sales. But my point being is that, yeah, you need to be very direct, very clear, very confident coming across to that person. That's going to be one of the keys to bringing somebody on to work with you.
Right. Absolutely.
So go for it. So practice it with the onboarding call. See how it goes.
Okay. So we can't do videos for our onboarding call, correct? I wouldn't really be able to do something like that.
I think it really kind of depends on the mentor that you booked in with. If you do like a Skype or a Zoom call, it depends if they're planning on being on camera or not. At least you could do a screen share and do it that way. I do various ways that I do that, but in real life, often, yeah, I'll do it. But I do a Zoom call or a onboarding call there with pictures or with video. I'll share the screen and I'll go through some slides. I think that's helpful.
Right. That's true. Yeah. And even if not, I could just, you know, speak about it, make an analogy for me,
right.
Visual in their mind.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Go through it verbally, be able to explain it really well verbally. That way you don't rely on the pictures so much if you don't have a picture. A lot of people can visualize an iceberg analogy, I would think, or like the agriculture analogy, I think, is easy to visualize. Also, we've all grown something at some point or watched something grow.
Yeah. Well, I might be back on because I remember asking a question in the group that I'm not sure got answered, so I might be back.
Oh, okay. Well, sounds good. Well, we're here. We've got to have... Actually, I tell you, we've got, if you know it now, we've got about 15 minutes left, and I don't have another hand raised. So if you want to do a follow-up question here, we're happy to answer it.
Okay. I just have to find it in the group is all.
Okay. That's
and
fine.
I just remember what it
was. I won't put you on the spot and rush you there. So I'll put you on mute.
Yeah.
We'll answer another question, and then I might jump back and see if you're still there. All right. Cool. Good stuff. Brendan, anything to add to that on the iceberg analogy?
No, I thought that was all great. I mean, I've played around with it so much over the years. And, you know, back when I was the newer FDN, I did there for a while, just have it down to like a, you know, just a script, a science that I just used over and over and over. I went as far as even like I recorded kind of my own little you know, sort of like webinar presentation that I would like send them the link for ahead of time and be like, hey, you know, you could watch this to kind of be better prepared for the conversation. But yeah, you know, analogies and visuals are everything, you know, because it's almost this combination of you kind of want to like dazzle them a little bit with like your knowledge, but you don't want to confuse or overwhelm them with jargon. So yeah, analogies and visuals and helping them understand the paradigm shift of, you know, conventional medicine. They do what they do, and what we do is totally different. So the more we can speak to that and use the analogies and visuals, such as the iceberg, I mean, that's absolutely golden for kind of helping, you know, close the deal and get somebody bought into what we do.
Indeed. Yeah, knowledge is power. And I think most people are looking for something different. Obviously, they're reaching out for us. They're probably thinking a little bit differently. But sometimes they're surprised at all that you do offer. Or, hey, yeah, my friend said that you helped them, and I should reach out to you. And then you get to talk through how you work, what you do, and the scale of what we do and the abilities of how deep we can get. I've had a lot of people say, oh, my goodness, I had no idea this even existed, or you could do all this, and it's in my hometown here. This is, wow. And then just absolutely blown away, which is cool. You know, nothing happens until somebody gets excited, right? You got to be excited. There's an emotional response that you elicit through that, and that's what a person – you have to have that for a person to make a decision and move forward. It's probably not going to be just a purely logical one. It's got to be something you evoke in that person. That just sort of happens naturally. Just talking about what we do and the success that you had just happens naturally, and it's just usually an easy thing. So don't make the onboarding call a challenge. Yeah, always get better at communicating what you do and handling people's questions or objections, things like that. Building some rapport with that person, you know, asking lots of questions to get to know that person well, know where they're coming from, what type of person they are, what they're looking for information-wise. All those things are going on a call like that. We need to be good at those skills, but most of the time it's just a fun conversation, and you just find a kindred spirit, and there's a connection on every aspect. Like, yeah, that's what I believe, or they say something like, exactly, and you just have these you know, light bulbs going off and all these connections. And it's just a fun energy that's created in that conversation. And them coming to work with you is just kind of a foregone conclusion, just assumed. All right, well, cool. Well, let's do this then. Okay, and you sign a person up and rock and roll. So
very good.
Have fun with it. That's a big part of what we need to have there, so have that energy. People hear a lot of bad news and a lot of negative things, and people that are already crabby and don't like their life or hate their life. So let's be people that are positive and enjoy our life, and it should come across. If you know what you're doing and you enjoy what you're doing, that should come across. That passion, that excitement, it should just be there, and it shouldn't have to be forced. I don't force it. I love it. It's tremendous. I have a couple personal clients this morning talk with and checking with them, and they're doing great and made some good recommendations, and it's a positive conversation, and we work through some things need to work through, and then I jump onto a Friday call, and I've got some more calls this afternoon, and boy, it's a blast. So you can do your job with cheer and excitement, and hopefully if you get what we do, that just is a natural outpouring of that. Okay, all right. So there's a quick question I'll answer, and then I'll check in with Avery and see if she's got her follow-up question here. So this person asks, when should we provide clients with the FDN intake forms? It is not listed in the email template to send to clients as an attachment. So when do you send intake forms? So people do things a little differently depending on their business, but you would send a client intake forms after you sign them on, they signed your terms of service, and you receive payment. So no need to send those until that point. And then, of course, if you don't send it before the results session, with the results session, of course, that's way too late because those intake forms are gathering the who and the history and the main complaints of this person. Whose test results are these? So we always have to have that. So those are sent after you've agreed to work together and, you know, payment has been exchanged. However you do that, And then, of course, way before you have the result session, and actually before you prep for your result session, because you need to have those intake forms in hand to combine with their lab results to form your impression, make your recommendations. So first things first. Don't get the cart before the horse or after or whatever. So get the right order. Hopefully that's helpful. All right. So, Avery, let's see if you found your question. So, all right, Avery, are you there?
I am, yes.
Okay. Did you find your question?
I did. Okay. So,
okay.
The medical director program fee with some of the labs, which I actually gone through and seen which labs that fee is charged with, but it's charged because there's a 30-minute consult after you get the results, correct?
Yes, that's part of that. Part of that fee covers that 30-minute consult, correct?
Okay, and that is with the lab people, not a mentor, or is it with a mentor?
No, that's with we call them clinical advisors, but a lot of us are mentors and clinical advisors. That's with one of us, one FDN clinical advisor. So that is
okay.
Us. So, yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So me or Brendan or
okay.
Whitney or Ryan or Tess or maybe I'm forgetting somebody. So, yeah, that'll be with us.
Okay. And then, so in structuring our programs and pricing, would it be wise to add the fee to our package? Okay, that's the next question.
Yeah, right. I got you. So I will say that the medical director fees that are associated with some of those labs, there's a reason for that because those labs wouldn't be accessible otherwise if we didn't have the medical director program. So there's a cost associated with that access, and not only the processing of that lab. So when we process the lab kit for you, ship it out there, the results come back into us. We're going to pair that with, like with a stool test, a letter that's customized based on the results. Or whatever extra information might be helpful, and then we send that out to you so you have the results and the letter already made for you. And then you get the link there to book in with one of us for a half-hour consult to review that lab and that. Actually, that whole case, I should say that too, so that 30-minute consult there is to review the entire case. Now, we're going to focus our time on that lab that you ran through the medical director program, but if you have additional labs, so if you've ran some hormone testing and MR, you know, stool, other kind of tests that you have there, send that all to us along with the case notes form totally filled out because we, as clinical advisors, are FDN practitioners. We work like FDN practitioners. We need that background. And so we'll take a look at everything ahead of time, make our notes and get a feel for what's going on. Then we come on with you and then we'll go through and tell you what we're seeing, help you refine your protocol. Within the FDN realm, that's the big thing, is when you call labs, they teach a lot more to the lab. You know, I'd say every one of them out there, most clinical advisors are not going to be FDN practitioners. So there's a few exceptions, but generally not. So the interpretation, the holistic approach of things, it's not just what supplements do I recommend. It's the whole dress protocol will help you with, along with interpretation, connecting dots for you, the whole thing. So you get the FDN way of evaluating and looking at things during that call. So that's definitely the advantage there that you have versus just calling up the lab and a consultation that way. Plus, Brenda and I are doing, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50 of these a month. And so we see a lot of labs. So we see patterns, we see trends, and we have a lot of experience with this. So we could just say, hey, you know, here's the trends we're seeing. Here's the things that are working for people. Here's some options. So it's continued learning beyond just what we've packed into the course. And so this is kind of advertisement for using those because they're extremely helpful no matter where you are in the process. If you're a newbie, it's your first medical director consult, had a few of those this week, some of the first people they've booked in for those, or you've been doing this for a long time, it's always good to jump in and have a conversation there. So that $75 goes in a very, very long way. And that $75, to answer the question there about your package, yes, that needs to be factored in to your packages. So when you and usually what it would do there, that would be part of your consulting fees because you're going to pay the medical director program to order that lab. So you need to collect the money from your client, and then that goes to the medical director program. And you order that test kit, right, that gets shipped to them. So that's sort of the process there. They're not going to call us up directly through the medical director program. Your client will not call us directly. You'll be doing that. So it just needs to be part of your consulting fees. You can make note of that, that that's what that's for, or just kind of lump it into it. I tend to just lump it into it because it's just all the cost of the program and what they have to do and what we have incurred. So, yeah, 100%, you want to think about those little costs that maybe aren't so apparent.
Okay, awesome. That answers the other part of my question, which is the accession was for our client, actually, but not.
Kind of cutting out there, Avery. I think you said something about your client if they pay for it directly. Is that what you said?
No. Can you hear me?
Yes. Got you again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I was saying that just answered the other part of my question was that the session is indirectly for our client, but not directly, meaning that we are having the meeting the clinical advisor.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. So it's not a three-way call and we do anything like that. So, yeah. So it's us advising you, and then you can go back with the information you learned from that and finalize your protocol before you have the session with your client. Right.
Okay. Cool. And then I have one really quick question that also was not answered. So I just am scheduling my practicals right now, and I'm scheduling them with Shannon, and she has some multiple, options. I know every mentor has different options for scheduling. Hers, there's trainee lesson 6, 7, 8 practical session with Frank and FDN trainee midterm practical with Frank. And then she also has practical 1 and 2 with Brad. So I'm kind of confused, Frank is about if I can choose Frank.
Yep. Yep. Sorry about the confusion on that, where that's coming from. So the newest version of the course, right, is Brad. So you're going to be choosing Brad because you're in it right now. There were still some people that were finishing up with the older version of the course, and the mock client there was named Frank. Good old Frank. Got to play Frank a lot too. So, so that's coming from that. So that's on there because there are still people that are finishing that up. That may be – Shannon may need to remove that. I think most people have been switched over into the new course. So that's the confusion there. So, we had a little different names for the practicals in the older version of the course, and it was a different person. So that's why she is giving that people options to choose. So, but no, you're going to do Brad. It's going to be your onboarding call, your 2 practicals, 1 and 2 with Brad, and then your client reviews. So, yeah, hopefully that clarifies.
Yeah, absolutely. I was kind of like, oh, shoot, do I actually afford to do?
Yeah, yep, right. So it's tough on us. We've got to play all these different characters and different names, and poor Shannon's got to play 2 different guys. That's tough.
Yeah. And the client reviews, it's better to do them back-to-back and separate.
Yes, that's probably the best there. Just go ahead, be in the groove there. That's how I think we've got them mostly set up there. So, yeah, back-to-back's probably ideal.
All right, perfect. I think that's all I have.
Yeah. Awesome. Good stuff. Love it. So thanks for tuning in and the questions and also for coming in on the Friday study group there. So good stuff, Avery. Thanks a lot. Okay, so we've got, less than 2 minutes left, and I've got 2 hands raised. Let's just see what we can do here. So 917 area code. 917, what's your name and what's your question?
Hey, Brandon and Brendan. This is Elizabeth Gaines. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful.
Well,
how are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm just going to cut to the chase since we have so little time. I'm working
that.
With my first – no worries. I want the other person to get a chance too. I'm working with my first Canadian client, and I'm noticing that the protocol doc for the Canadian supplements, one, we sort of had no introduction to Canadian supplements, and 2, as new FDNs, we don't have access to Designs for Health. So I'm wondering, is there anything in the archives, any sort of video webinar that's been done to introduce the Canadian supplements? Because I sort of did a cursory search through the archives and couldn't come up with anything, but was wondering if you perhaps knew if there was a resource out there to kind of take us through the Canadian supplements for those of us who don't have any experience with that.
Brendan, do you have a resource on AFTMP?
I tend to defer to Brandy since she's up in Canada and she knows all the kind of back-end logistical stuff left and right. Because, like, you know, I think FDN has, like, a FullScript account for Canada specifically, since there are different regulations and whatnot.
I don't know of anything like a set webinar that you can watch, Elizabeth. I would say, I must say AFTMP, just kind of in the group within there, see who's in Canada and they're practicing there. And I think probably could be okay just to reach out to Brandy there and see if she can recommend something there. I hate to put it out there without her approval, but we're all here to help. So I think reach out those two ways, and they might be more help than we can be right now on the call.
Yeah, no worries.
Sorry about that.
When I was putting together my protocol, I sort of went through each of the supplements and figured it out for myself with those supplements. But I was just wondering, like, is there a resource that's already available on this so that I don't have to reinvent the wheel? But if there isn't, that's totally
Yeah, I just say, you know, kind of going back to fundamentals, it's about ingredients. And so you've probably gone through ingredients and take a look and see what matches up there the most. So, So, okay. Sounds good then.
All right, cool. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, you
awesome.
Too.
Thank you. Okay. All right. We'll help however we can. All right. So that's the call today, guys. Wow. Awesome. Great callers there. Good questions. Guys jumping in there, a few that we had written in. Dr. Narduli, congratulations on being our graduate, Caitlin. And all right, we'll do it again next week. Brendan, thanks for being on, man. Helping me out with some of those tough questions today.
Yeah, absolutely. Always a pleasure, my brother.
Okay, man. All right, you guys have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.